Praise God. Glad you're here today. And there's an old saying, you can't keep a good man down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Been a lot of things going on lately, but the Lord has seen us through them all. Amen. And I'm getting better. Praise God. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, my wife might not say so, but anyway, we'll let that go till she gets here to defend herself. Praise God. we'll have service this evening, of course, as regular. And being that I don't get to preach tonight, boy, you're in for it this afternoon. So, amen. Just be prepared for that. And this morning we want to welcome to our church Daryl Spicer. He's from the Channel 21 ministry. I think you started that, didn't you? Yeah. And it's a ministry to truckers, and he'll explain a whole lot more about it when he comes up here. And just give him your attention this morning, and I believe the Lord will bless you. Amen. We don't have too many guests, but when we do, we usually try to bless them, you know, and help them. So just pay attention and love the Lord. Amen. Daryl? Amen. Come on up here. Praise God. I heard about him for, I guess, a few months now. Come on up here. And every once in a while, I'll get one of the CDs he has and play it when I'm on my trip somewhere. And I've always enjoyed them. And especially like the one about the bus.
Yeah, bus 19.
Bus 19, all right. If you haven't, if you want to get one of them, that's the one to get. Praise God. Daryl, help yourself. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
What an honor it is to be here today. Alan speaks highly of his church. I'm very blessed to work with Alan. I want to thank Pastor for letting me come in here today. It's an honor to stand behind the pulpit of another man's church, and I want to honor you for that. Thank you, sir. I want to thank Alan and Julie. They've been gracious hosts. They took me out and fed me about a half a cow last night for supper. It's good, too. And but they've been great. I told Alan this morning, I said, brother, I'll try not to embarrass you, but I don't promise you anything. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for being able to come into your house. Lord, it's a privilege to come to your house. It's a privilege to be with your children and to worship you, Lord, and lift up your holy name. Father, we thank you for the anointing message this morning for the song. Lord, it was so anointing and touching, Lord. We want to draw closer and near to you, Lord. We ask for your anointing today. Lord, bless your servant this morning as we study about you and study about your word. We lift up your name this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So you might ask, who is this guy and why is he here? I don't know, and I just don't know. A quick testimony. In 10 days, I'll be celebrating 7 years of being saved. Most people think, man, you've been saved all your life. No, no. I fought God. I didn't fight God because I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't talking to God for 40 years. At 13, I was saved, went to a church just about this size right here, and give my heart to the Lord, and at 17, I turned my back on God. It's nothing I'm proud of, but I did it. The world got a hold of me. So these teenagers, it's so important to draw close and stay close to these teenagers because the world is strong, got a lot of shiny things to offer them. And at 17, I did this. I'm not proud of it, but I said, God, I'm not worthy of anything you have to offer. I won't ever ask you for anything. And I didn't, because I didn't feel like, what for? I don't have anything to give him. I turned my back on him. So I didn't feel like it was, you know, it's just like if I left my dad's house at 17, if I left his house and said, I'm gone, go do my own thing. Do I have a right to call back and say, Dad, I need money? Dad, I need this. Dad, I need that. I don't think so. Stood on my own 2 feet, go. And that's just my way of thinking. I'm not saying that's the right way to do it. I think we need to stay close to God our whole life because our Father loves us. But I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, so I turned my back on him. And God never punished me one time in them 40 years. Not one time. But I sure beat myself up. Stupid mistakes I made in my life caused a lot of hardship for me and my family. Because once you get in the world, you don't have any accountability. The devil sure leaves you alone because you're living with him, living for him. But for 40 years, I didn't run from God. I just didn't seek God. And he left me alone. He did. Till one day, in June of 2007, I walk in and sit down in my easy chair after work. And my wife comes in, sits down. She said, "There's something we need to talk about." I'm like, "Oh, I hate them grown-up talks. What is it? What have I done now?" But anyways, she said, "I've been watching the 700 Club, and I've rededicated my life to the Lord. See, I met my wife in church, and I caused her to turn her back at 16. Now, she tried through the years to go to church, took her boys to church, but I wasn't there for them. So when she said she rededicated her life to the Lord, I thought, honestly, I said, that's great. Maybe she'll be happy. Now, don't get me wrong. I got a loving wife. I got a wonderful wife. But there was something missing in her, the same thing that was missing in me. We had a good marriage, but we didn't have a great marriage. We had a good marriage. We ended up divorced in 1983, and we were separated for 6 years. Got back together in late 88. We actually separated in 82 and got back together in late 88. God didn't do that. I did that, and she did that. See, God doesn't punish you. Your lifestyle punishes you. So even when we got back together, we still didn't come to the Lord. We just, you know, started building our life back together, new home, yada, yada, all this stuff. Bought it, you know, just had it great. So in 2007, when she said she rededicated her heart to the Lord, I said, "Well, that's great." And she said, "I want to start going to church." And I thought, that's great. Because I figured while she's gone to church, I'm out on my Harley, out riding around. She's got a life. I got a life. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't mean separate. It's just that she had her thing and I had my thing. That's the way the world does it. The men go golfing. The women do what they do. You don't do it together. In a Christian home, you do things together. There's nothing wrong with going golfing. But if that's your life, it takes it away from your family, then there's a problem with that. But so I'm thinking, okay, she can do her thing. I'll do mine. Everybody going to be happy. She said, "I can't go to church. I can't do this alone." Because her dad wasn't saved, but her mother was a godly woman. A godly woman. And took her kids to church. She had four boys and two girls. And drug them to church. You know. And so she said, "I can't do this alone. I won't be like my mom and dad." She said, "Because it just separated them." And I said, "Well," I said, "I'm happy for you, but I'm not ready for that." She said, "I know you're not." I said, "Well, I'm happy. I got everything I want. Why don't I'm happy?" She goes, "Yes, you are." She said, "But there's one thing missing." And I goes, "What's that?" "Joy." I didn't have any joy. I'd go to bed at night, and I didn't have any peace. I had everything I wanted. Had a new car, a new Harley, a new pickup truck, house paid for, kids all grown. Had a good job, had a good wife, and have joy. See, when you don't have God in your heart, you're just existing. Amen. We're put here to serve him. We're here to praise him. We're here to lift up his name. And how do we get reward for that? He blesses us. He favors us. So I sit there, and folks, I'm here to tell you, first time in 40 years, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "She's right, but I wouldn't tell her." She told me one time, she said, "You want to be happy or you want to be right?" I said, "I'll be happy. I'll agree with you, baby." But anyway. I didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I told her, she said, if you go to church with me one day a week, that's all I ask. That's all I ask. I'm like, okay. I'll go Sunday morning. She can go Wednesday night and Sunday nights and does her church stuff, and I'll still have time to ride the Harley. Not a big deal. Okay, I'll go. We went to one church, and I told her, I said, when you pick a church, I want you to pick a church like we went to when we was kids. And what I went was, in my secular way, pick a spirit-filled church. Pick a church that loves God, because that church when we was kids, they loved the Lord. It was spirit-filled. You could feel the anointing when you went there. Even as a kid, I could feel it. So we went to one church, and it just didn't speak to me. It didn't speak. I don't care for that church. I don't know why I didn't care. I just didn't. Nothing wrong with the church. Just didn't say anything to me. And I said, listen, I'll go back there. She didn't either. So she said, well, there's a church behind the Catfish House there in Smyrna. And it's Assemblies of God Church. I said, okay. She said, let's try that. I said, whatever. That's fine. I remember seeing it back there. And it's Smyrna, Tennessee. So we went to church the next actually, we missed a couple of Sundays. And I'm thinking, maybe she's going to forget about this. Maybe I'm going to skate. And no, we went. And for 40 years, the one song that I really would walk out of the room if I heard it or turn it off was Amazing Grace. And I said, I walked in that church, and we sit down, and I sit back as far as I could, and I sit there, my arms folded like this. What do you think the first song they sang in that church that Sunday morning? Amazing Grace. And the tears just started rolling down. And the service went on through, and they did the altar call. When they did the altar call, I got up and I hit the door running. I walked outside waiting on my wife. This went on for 3 months. That church that we attend is River Life Church in Smyrna, Tennessee. The pastor of that church is Johnny Minnick. Johnny Minnick was the guy behind the mustache that sang with the Happy Goodmans for years and years. I don't know if you remember Johnny standing there singing with him. Awesome man of God, and could sing, play that piano. He sings and he says when he plays, he looks for that hole in the ceiling of the church, and he moves the piano over there to find the Holy Spirit to come down. Now, I'm telling you, there's times that Spirit just fills that house. Well, here I'm sitting back there like a mad bullfrog. A brother at church told me one time just recently, he said, I remember when you come to church here. He said, you sit back there with your arms folded, just didn't want nothing to do with it. I said, I didn't. He said, I remember that. But this went on for 3 months. And every time they do the altar call, I'd hit the door. Well, one Sunday morning, we went to church, and the pastor spoke on the milk of the word and the meat of the word. I didn't understand this. Most of what he was saying up there, I didn't understand most of it. When you're not in the Spirit, you don't understand a lot of this stuff that goes on up here. It's called Christianese. You just don't understand what we're saying. But that particular morning, when he said that about the milk of the word, it told me, you know what? You can start off slow. You don't have to hit the ground running. You don't have to be some super Christian. You don't have to be. And I thought, that's pretty cool. Because when you start talking about the meat of the word, because he said, I don't mind giving you the milk of the word, but I'm tired of moving your mustache aside to feed you the milk. You're grown-ups. It's time to eat the meat of the word. And that stuck with me. I thought that was pretty cool. So we went home and we took a nap, and I got up and I went out on the patio, and I was sitting out there having a cigar. I smoked, chewed tobacco. And I'm sitting out there having a cigar, and my wife come out. It was late in the afternoon. And we got to talking about going to church and different things. And I said, you know, my biggest regret is that we didn't raise our children in church, our two sons. That's my biggest regret in my whole life. She said, baby, you're still their daddy, and it's not too late. I looked at her and I said, let's go to church tonight. God just opened up the... I don't know what Johnny preached on that night, but I sit back there, and when he did the altar call, I was up to that altar. I immediately, completely, 100% got saved, got forgiven, and got joy. And it hadn't stopped in 7 years. My wife says, baby, not everybody gets it like you. I said, well, they should. They should. Don't beat yourself up for 40 years before you come to God, or 1 year or 1 minute. Open up your heart to Him. But anyways, that's who I am. And why am I here? I don't know. Alan told me, won't you come down to church? And there's a blessing, Alan. I really appreciate the invite. That blessed me that day. He asked me and we talked about it. With all of this, God put a hunger in me. He put a hunger for His Word. He put a hunger for lost souls. This Bible, I'm in it as much as I can. I've got this Bible. I got two on my desk. I've got them at home. You know, I just can't. I got them on my phone. I just can't get enough Word because I'm hungry for God's Word. I'm not some super spiritual guy. I barely made it through high school. You know, and it takes me a while to read a lot of this stuff. But the Lord put a hunger in me to study His Word and prepare myself for a time such as this. I didn't know what. I didn't have a clue. One day I was driving across Mount Eagle Mountain. I had started Bible college online in 2008. In a quick story, I did five lessons. I actually went there. Our church has, it was called River Life School of Ministry, and I was going to the classes. And it's online and classes. And the Lord told me one night on the way home, He said, you're not ready for this yet. Need to get back on the milk. So I stopped. Now, 8 months after I became a Christian and started at that church, they asked me to be the director of the men's ministry. I'm like, what? They must be hurting. It's a good-sized church. It's 400 or 500 people there, and maybe more. But he said, the pastors asked me if I'd do that. I was like, sure. You know, I found in my studies that if you don't attempt foolish things, you're foolish. Go after it. God's Word tells us He'll be with us. He'll stand with us. So I said, sure. I don't know what to do, but I'll do it. And my first time I had to speak was in June of 2008. Before a group of men, and some of them have been saved longer than I was in the world. What am I got to say to these men? I don't have a clue. I've been saved 8 months. Here I am. I'm going to stand up and preach. Yeah, all right. I got my little notepad out. This is about 3 or 4 weeks before I was supposed to speak, our first men's meeting. And I just started thinking and looking at the Word and just didn't know what to do. It was on a Monday night was when I was going to speak. Sunday after church, I went home, and I had a yellow pad, and there was not one word on it. I had less than 36 hours to stand in front of these men and talk about God and teach them something. So I was walking in the hallway, and I'm thinking, God, what do I do? What do I say? I don't know what to do here. I'm in a spot. You know what He told me? Speak of what you know. And I said, God, I don't know nothing. I'm sorry, I'm from West Virginia originally. That's why I don't know nothing. And then all of a sudden He said, you know truck driving. Okay. You know what it's like to be a new truck driver. You was one time. And it changed your whole life, didn't it? I said, yeah. So will giving your heart to the Lord change your whole life. I put down about 20 minutes on paper. I spoke for 45 minutes, and I just showed Him my heart, and the Lord put that on me to study His Word, so I finished Berean. I got my license to be a minister of the Word. Don't make me a pastor. Don't make me a preacher. It just gives me a little bit of credibility that I did, you know, I've got a license, and I'm not a preacher, so don't get your hopes up. I should have told you that at the beginning. But I love God. And he put it on my heart. I had drivers like Alan coming into my office after I'd gotten saved, and these guys knew me, a lot of them, before I got saved, so they seen a definite turnaround. By the way, when I got up in that altar, I hadn't touched nicotine in 7 years. And I love nicotine. I love me some chewing tobacco. I love me a cigarette, a cigar. I loved it. But I knew that it would hinder me being a witness for the Lord. It might not hinder you, but I knew it would hinder me, because that's part of the reason I wrestled with God for 3 months, because I didn't want to give it up. Didn't want to give it up. You know, Satan will give you stuff you like. That's why you serve Satan. You know, I'm a Harley guy. I love chrome. I just, my wife come out there one day, looked at that motorcycle, says, "You about done buying chrome for that thing?" I said, "No, I'm just getting started." Since I've been saved, I haven't bought any chrome. I got another God now. I serve another God. But I finished up with the Berean, and the drivers was coming in, and we're talking about God. And one day, I got up on a Monday morning, and I went in and I did my devotionals, and I said, "Lord, I've lost my joy. I've lost my joy." And that scared me, because I got into this thing for joy. But I was saved. I wasn't worried about that. I was just worried about what happened to my joy. What did I do wrong to lose my joy? And because Pastor told us one time, he said, "You know, I get up some days, I don't feel saved. Some days I'm tired. Some days I'm sick. Some days I just don't, you know. So that happens as Christians. That's when we get on our knees. We say, "Lord, what's going on here?" Immediately. So that morning I got on my knees. I said, "Lord, where's my joy?" And he didn't tell me anything. So I get up and I go to work. This is Monday morning. Wednesday, I'm out in the driver's room making some coffee, and I'm whistling. And I'm just whistling away, and I'm like, I stop. I'm like, what happened? I've got my joy back. Where'd it come from? Lord, what? I stopped. I actually stopped, and I said, "Lord, what did you do?" It hit me. For the last 2.5 days, he had sent men of God into my office to talk to me about him, and to lift up his name, and to talk about what he's doing in our lives. And it hit me right then. There's my joy. My joy is talking about Jesus Christ. My joy is telling people what he's done for me, so he'll do it for you, and he will do it for you. But there's things you got to do. You got to hit that altar on your knees. You got to surrender all. That song, "I Surrender All," that means it. Because once you surrender all, you just don't know the joy you'll get. But there's where my joy was. And I got to, I had a driver walk into my office one day, and he's standing right there in the doorway. And I didn't know this man. I'd seen him a couple of times. And he said, "I've got a problem." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I just seen a man die." I said, "You seen a man die?" He goes, "Yeah, coming up I-24, a Shaw truck, Hall's carpet, went over in the median strip." And he said, "When I went by, he was slumped over the wheel." He said, "He must have had a heart attack and died." And he said, "That's upsetting me." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I don't know." He's a young man. He said, "I don't know." He said, "But it's very upsetting." And he come and sit down, and we talked. And I said, "Well, could it be upsetting because you don't know the Lord? And if that happened to you, is that man in heaven or hell right now? Because it could happen that quick to you." He said, "I think so." We sit and talked. He started crying, and I led him to the Lord right there. See, you're in your mission field. If you keep your spiritual eyes and ears open, God will bring people to you. And that's when Channel 21 started. Now, it just didn't start, you know, the Lord started dealing with me about things. And one day a driver come into my office, and we got to talk about the Lord, and he said, "I'm mad at God." I said, "Why are you mad at God, and how's that working out for you?" He says, "Not too good." He said, "My Bible's been laying back there in that bunk for 3 years. He said, "My daddy died, and I don't like the way my daddy died, and I'm mad at God." I said, "Again, how's that working out for you?" So while we're talking, I pull up JMM Today, Johnny Minnick Ministries Today. You can go online and pull up our services in our church on demand. They're not all on there, but a lot of them are on there. Well, we had just had an awesome service a few weeks before that. And so I'm over there clicking on the mouse while he's talking, and I'm bringing up Johnny Minnick Ministries. and pastors at the piano when he plays a little bit and he stands up a little bit and he cries and he preaches. My preacher don't run, but he leaks a lot. He cries. He'd get back down, he'd play a little bit and he'd preach a little bit. Well, I told this driver, come around behind and take a look at this. This is our church. This is where I go to church. It's really cool. And we're playing this music and I'm watching out of the corner of my eye, and the next thing I know, I turn around and both hands are up and tears just flowing. He rededicated his heart to the Lord right there. See, God will use anything if you're obedient. And a few weeks later, he come in, he handed me this CD. He said, you need to listen to this CD. I said, really? He said, yeah, this is really cool. And it was a guy by the name of Gary Rayburn in Carmel, Illinois, with Rig Ministries, means Receiving in God Ministries. Now, you think Rig Ministries and truck drivers, it would be for trucks, but it's not. It's really for oil rigs. Gary is an oil rig chaplain. So I'm listening to his testimony, but he's also a truck driver for these oil rigs. He was. Now he's a full-time chaplain. But he gave me that, and I listened to it, and it's about Gary's testimony, about how God saved him. And I found out that Gary's just as bad as I was. He drank, smoked, yada, yada, whatever. Just didn't serve God, didn't care about God. Marriage problems, issues. But his wife had given her heart to the Lord, and she was praying for him, sent the preacher over to talk to him, and he fought and he fought and he fought. And then one day, going down the road 65 miles an hour, he gave his heart to the Lord. And right now, Gary, through Rig Ministries, gives out 18,000 CDs a month. In the last 7 or 8 years, they've given out over 1 million CDs. And I can testify to this. There's been a lot of truck drivers give their heart to the Lord. So I called Gary, and I asked Gary, I said, brother, I said, you don't know me from Adam's house cat, because he puts his phone number on every CD. And I said, told him who I was. I said, now, God has put something on my heart. Now, this isn't your ministry, so I'm not asking you to do anything. Just give me some advice. Because, see, a lot of times people come up and tell somebody, you know what God told me you should do? No, when God wants you to do something, he's going to tell you what to do. But anyways, Gary and I got to talking, and he said, the first conversation, he said, brother, he said, that ministry of yours is unique, making chaplains out of truck drivers. See, everybody thinks that you have to have a license to talk about Jesus. Here's your license. The Word of God is your license. He's ordained you. So these men of God that have been coming in talking to me should be out there talking to sinners too, shouldn't they? So the Lord put it on my heart to put a structure together and to find men and women. We've got women chaplains too, truck drivers. And put a group of these folks together and put them out there in the highways and the byways where the truckers are. Because how many truck drivers have got in here today? You don't count, Alan. You're still scratching the surface, but not. Most of them aren't in church. They're out there trucking, running up down the road. So what do we have to do? We need to bring them to church. So we put a team of drivers together. I started talking to different men of God to come into my office. Alan was one of them. He immediately said, I'll do that. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I said, okay, we'll do it. So we started putting a team together, got on the internet. We got a website, channel21ministries.com. We've got a training center. We made a video to show the chaplains what they're expected to do. We've got another video to show the chaplains what they're not supposed to do. One is, if you don't go to church, you're going to go to hell. Well, if you can't get to church, that means you're going to go to hell? No. Church is where you're at. We need to go to church to get filled up, because I tell the chaplains, how can you go out and feed others if you haven't been fed? You need to go to church as much as you possibly can. Some of them can't get to church, but I tell them, go to these truck stop chapels. Very important that you get fed. But anyways, we started that with Gary. He started giving me CDs. He said, I'll give you all you need. All you need. I said, well, I need you some mentor. Tell me how, you know, help me here with a little bit of this. Just train me. But so we started Channel 21 Ministries. Right now we have over 45 chaplains. The fruit of the ministry is people getting saved. If you're not, the fruit of the ministry is salvation. That's what we're out in short time. We know that. It's a short time in this world. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. But one of our new chaplains, Steve Richardson, last week was at a customer in Tennessee and got to talking to a man about the Lord, giving him some CDs, giving him a Bible. And the next thing you know, they're underneath the tree out there in the parking lot, and this man's giving his heart to the Lord. That's what the chaplains are out there to do. See, the decals on the side of the truck, the shirts, the hats, it opens doors that they're a road chaplain. And we've had way over 30 people saved in 2 years. I'm not a numbers guy, but the one number I'm looking for is that one more. Lord, give us one more. One more. And when you get a call from a man that's gone to church for 11 years, a deacon in his church, and you've handed him bus 19, the world should see Christ in you all the time, not just some of the time. The world is looking at you. We're to show them Jesus. And this one particular person kept coming in my office, and he'd been a deacon in his church for 11 years. I didn't see Jesus in him. I just did. When we talk about God, he would take off on something else. Gave him bus 19. He kept coming back. Said, "You got any more than bus 19s? I keep giving them away. I like that. That's clearly cool." This went on for months. One day, I get a call, and it's right here in Mississippi, coming down 45, headed to Columbus. And I couldn't understand hardly anything he was saying. And I says, "Charles, is this you?" "It's the first time in my life I've given my heart to God. I'm saved." He said, he pulled in down here at service stall. He said, couldn't even hardly talk to the guard. She started crying. Now Charles makes CDs at home, and his church has gotten behind him in making CDs. He takes packets of five, and this one set of five is for folks that are not saved. They don't know the Lord at all. The other one is for guys that was like him. He's picked out the right CDs, the combination. The Lord has shown him. Now he's out there witnessing. See, it's not what I do. It's not what your pastor does. Sheep make sheep. It's up to you to go out there where you're at in your mission field to do that. It's up to you to do that. He's here to feed you. My pastor, I love that man's preaching. I love that man's heart. I love what he does, the way he talks. And when we pull out of our parking lot, it says, "You are entering your mission field." Pastor Johnny sent me and everybody else in that church. He sent us out to be a witness unto the Lord. Because I go get fed on Sunday mornings, I want to go feed and show what the Lord's done for us. But what happened to me when I got saved is I've really lost my mind. And it's a good thing, because I had stinking thinking. It wasn't right. You've got to change when you leave that altar. It's got to be a total, complete, God, everything I have is yours. I went out that next day, took down a big old box of liquor out of the cupboard and poured it all out there in the woods. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't shed a tear over that one bottle, but I poured it out and hadn't touched it since. That nicotine habit was gone the minute I left that altar. Gone. And I couldn't quit. I stopped 100 times, but I never did quit. But the Lord took it away. That was a gift, because when the devil comes to me and starts making me doubt, I said, "Devil, how come I don't crave nicotine anymore? What's up with that?" He flees. Because see, God will give you that testimony to fight the devil with. You know, Paul had that stinking thinking. If you go to Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 3 through 6. I'll give you time to get there if you want. Some people got iPhones and iPads and all that stuff. I'm very low tech. as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Was Saul saved then? No. He was still Saul. So don't tell me the Lord don't talk to the unsaved. He'll talk to you when it's time. He'll get your attention. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. See, when you give your heart to the Lord, he's going to tell you what you must do. He'll tell you. I've heard it said, and I've seen pictures of Paul being knocked off his horse. But it really doesn't say in Scripture it said he was knocked to the ground. But either way, he got knocked off his high horse, didn't he? Because in order for Saul to become Paul, Jesus needed to get his attention. And he knew what it would take. Because this man was determined to kill Christians. He hated Jesus. He hated his followers. Remember, Paul had seen what Jesus has done. He knew. But he had to have a serious conversion. He had to get rid of that stinking thinking, and we all do. Before we met Jesus, or I met Jesus, most people, they have that same attitude. They could be drug addicts, adulterers, drunks, porn addicts, or just mean and nasty, or be all of the above. We could be making, or been making, something else our God, just like I did with my life. My job was my God, my truck was my God, my motorcycle was my God. A lot of people think that you can get to heaven in a lot of different ways. You know, I'm a good person. I don't hurt nobody. I don't know why I couldn't go to heaven. I give to the poor. I don't beat my wife. I don't give her causes to beat me. I'm a good father. But the word says the only way to the Father is through me. In order to get rid of this stinking thinking, we must receive Christ as our Savior and take the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, we'll get the heart of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about we want to play God. That's not what I'm trying to say here. Some people might get the, oh, you think you're going to be, no. We need the heart and mind of Christ in order to do ministry, in order to get hungry for Him. The Bible tells us, to be like Christ, in order to be like Christ, we must think like Him. The Word says that these things I do, you will do greater than me. We can't do that without His mind, without His way of thinking. How do we get that? We get that through prayer. We get that through study. But when we receive His mind, we do receive His heart. Let's go to the following scripture tells us how to receive the mysteries in the mind of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. I really love this scripture because it speaks to me a lot. Now, this is a lot of scripture, but it really sums up how we need to get the mind of Christ. It says, But it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I didn't know God was preparing this Channel 21 Ministries. I didn't know that was happening. I don't know what God's going to do with this ministry. 45 chaplains is just getting started. Now, these 45 chaplains don't just work for McElroy Truck Lines. They work all over the country. We got chaplains in Houston, Texas. We got one up in Canada. These folks are hearing these CDs and calling us, and we're able to get them hooked up and get their application. They got to fill out an application. We call their pastors. We check everything out to make sure that they are who they say they are. And then we set them up. It don't cost them a dime. It doesn't cost them anything to become a chaplain. But God is preparing a way for Channel 21 Ministries. Last Friday, a week ago, I was able to do an interview for Daystar Television, TCT Television. Did the interview for them. But that's phenomenal. For a little old ministry out of Middle Tennessee, you know, God's a trucking ministry. God's going to open up doors, so many doors. He's preparing a way. I never thought of that in a million years that that would ever happen. But he opened up that door. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of man, except the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, and that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which is the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. When you give your heart to the Lord and you get saved, you get all of Jesus. I've heard it said, when you receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he gets all of you. So he'll teach you these spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what gets us through these tough times. That's what gets us through when we don't have the boldness. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's why sometimes when I talk to people that don't know the Lord, they look at me like I've got two heads. We need to use spiritual discernment. The milk of the word needs to be shown, not the meat of the word. I had a fellow I called one time up here in North Mississippi. He owns a trucking company. See, what we're trying to do at Channel 21 is get trucking companies on board, faith-based trucking companies, to help Channel 21 put chaplains out in their trucks. See, it would be their employees doing ministry. The problem we have in our country today is our government, the ACLU, has painted faith-based companies into a corner and says, it's okay to say you are, but don't come out of that corner. If you come out of that corner, we're going to sue you. They have big lawyers, but I know the judge. I'm tired of these companies that are afraid to show who gave them that trucking company or that warehouse or whatever they're in. Afraid to show how they got it. They got it because the Lord gave it to them. They're in their mission field. The folks that make these CDs, do you realize how much 18,000 CDs a month cost? There's a couple named Bob and Stephanie Wilson that own Wilson Rigs. They make the big rigs for oil wells up in Illinois, finance it. They have put their money where their mouth is. So God has given them an awesome business, and they share that. They have a chapel. They built a chapel this size, if not bigger, in the last 6 or 7 years. It's awesome. They got state-of-the-art everything for the rig, for people working oil rigs and the truck drivers, and we have a conference up there every year that they share with the world. See, they can't hand out 18,000 CDs a month, but we can. I told them that in June. I said, Bob and Stephanie, your ministry has flourished right here in this little town of Carmi, Illinois. God is using you so he could use others. But the Lord is, if he dwells in you, you should have a hunger to share his word with everybody. A lot of folks get saved for the wrong reasons. And they don't end up with the mind of Christ. They get saved because of a 911 salvation. They got a crisis in their life. They come to church. What happened in 9/11? How many people flooded the churches at 9/11. Where are they at now? It was a 911 situation. And they end up coming to church because they're in debt. They can't, they've gotten themselves in debt, so they want God to help them. They want to break a bad habit, find a girlfriend, find a boyfriend. But when they find out that you need to get involved and you need to get the mind of Christ, oh, I don't want to do all that. Let the preacher do that. Let them elders and them deacons and them other people do that. I'm just here to get blessed. Just bless me. I'm here Sunday morning. You won't see me much Sunday night. No, no, I'm busy. You won't see me Wednesday night. You're not even getting the milk of the word when you do that. A lot of folks say, I don't like going to church, full of hypocrites. Well, I've heard it said, I'd rather go to church with a bunch of hypocrites than go to hell with every one of them. A fella at Dunbus 19, Terry Hopkins, said that. It got my attention. Think about that. It's not who's sitting beside you in the pew that's going to be standing there in judgment day. It's going to be you. Saul needed the heart of Christ in order to win souls, and look what he did when he got rid of that stinking thinking. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Can you say that? Do you say that? In Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. I can't go to Jerusalem right now, and I've never been to Samaria or Judea, but I've been to Columbus, Mississippi. And I go to my office every day. And that's where he's got me. Now, if he wants me to go over there, he'll get me some money to go over there, but right now I don't have it. But Jesus gives us a perfect example of what we should do as men and women of God in Matthew 2:1-12. It's also in Luke 17-26. I'm sorry, Matthew 9:2-8 and Mark 2:1-12 and Luke 5:17-26. I'm not going to go to that due to time, but here Jesus is preaching in the house. There's crowds. They know about him. It's throughout the land. I mean, there's crowds coming now. They know this man's a great healer. Four men pick up a crippled man, drag him up on the roof, dig through the roof, hands him down to Jesus. What happens? He gets healed. How did he get healed? Jesus said, because of your faith. Not the crippled man's faith, the four men's faith. This man was healed and his sins forgiven. Rise up and walk. You're them four people. You're it. You're part of the four. You're to bring people to Christ. He'll do the rest. Whether you leave a CD in a bathroom at a truck stop, or hand a CD to a waitress. You know there's 10 million truck drivers out there, over 10 million. They're hurting. I was a truck driver. I know. I ended up divorced because of being gone all the time. I was gone 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. When I come home, my boys called me Uncle Daddy. They didn't know who I was. It's hard to keep a marriage going. Fortunately, companies now are trying to get the drivers home a lot more because they realize their driver turnover problem, part of that is not being at home. Another part of that is they got folks out in them church trucks that don't have joy in their lives. And they're trying to manage a home 500 miles away when the wife or the spouse calls and says, little Johnny's gotten thrown out of school today. Drivers need a church home for their families to be in church when they're gone. The best fellowship you can have is Christian fellowship. I had a friend of mine told me a few months ago, I didn't know he got saved. I used to work with him in another company. Me and him used to be drinking buddies. He told me, you know what? I got saved, and I didn't know you could have this much fun without beer. We country, we don't know any better. I said, you're right, brother, you're right. This is great. I've never in 7 years had so much fun. When I see the joy of the Lord with drivers come walking into my office, a peace about them. It's a peace. And they talk about their families and the church home and everybody that they're involved with. It's a clean life. It's a peaceful life. And it's up to you as Christians, to your family. Me and Brother John talked this morning about our family. You know, we're an example for them. They're looking for us to fall. You know that, don't you? They don't want us to, but they're thinking, well, if I can't do it, I don't see how he's doing it. How come, you know, this guy's some kind of spiritual guru. No, I'm not. I'm just blessed by God. And I keep looking for favor from God. He's an awesome God. Why would we not have favor from him? But we need to do our part. In closing, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. These are promises because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he promises something to his people, he means it until he sees us face to face. When thou art in tribulation and these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou wilt turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of their fathers which he swore to them. He's promised us that he would be there. Did he promise us there would be no tribulation? Did he tell you that? No. As long as our old feet are attached to this dirty earth, we're going to have issues. We used to have in our foyer a 5 gallon bucket milk jug. One of our evangelists that comes, James Payne, brought it from his farm. We started putting money in that milk jug for a mission in Africa to build a church in Africa. And I taught a Sunday school class while that was going on, and the subject was healing. Well, the class, the youngest person in there was 72, and the oldest was 92, and here I am going to talk to you about healing. You know, they're all on walkers. And but the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I, what do I say to these folks, you know? And he made me think of that milk jug, and that thing was pretty beat up. It'd been used. It wasn't the vessel that was valuable. It's what's in the vessel. That's what's valuable. We could be falling apart physically, but if our spirit is strong, that's the value in us. So I've come to the conclusion we're a vehicle. I'm a Jeep. As big as I am, I'm a Hummer, and y'all are Jeeps. You know, you know, we're just a vehicle to carry the spirit around. I just fought cancer, and God helped me win. I'm cancer-free. Cancer-free. Went through surgery, thought I was going to die a couple times. I wish I was going to die. But I'm cancer-free. This just happened in March. In last August is when I found out I had cancer. I also found out in August that in October they was going to take 2 discs out of my back. I'm a Jeep. I'm falling apart. Here I stand. I've been standing here for almost an hour. You see any pain? I had a chaplain come into my office in January, because I refused to get the surgery. Because the doctor, I went to a neurosurgeon, he said surgery would not help you, it will hurt you. That's not going to solve your problem. You have soft tissue damage, whatever, I don't know all that stuff. But he said you're going to have to live on medication for the rest of your life. I haven't taken medication in a long time, because I refused to do that. And my wife sat there and started crying. She said, my husband's not going to be a zombie sitting in a chair for the rest of his life. This chaplain came into my office, put his hand on my back, prayed in the name of Jesus for these demons to leave my back. And that blew my mind because I didn't even think about demons. I just thought I was old. That night I went to bed and I told my wife, you know, my back's not hurting. I got up the next day. Back's not hurting. I can't explain this. It's spiritual things. The carnal man doesn't understand it. It's spiritual. I live in the spirit. I live with Jesus in the Spirit. I have a blessed hope, and so can you. But you've got to step out, step up, and be a witness for Jesus. And it all starts right here in your church. Father, I thank you for an opportunity this morning to speak to my brother, my sisters. We come in here this morning, we just want to be fed by you, Lord. We want to learn your word. We want to study your word. Father, I pray that you put a hunger in every person that's in this room this morning for souls. Lord, put a hunger that they want to serve you. They want to read your word and study your word. Lord, you said that we're going to be a light in this world and not to hide our light under a bushel. So, Lord, here we are today. We're going to put a line in the sand and said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to serve the Lord in public. We're going to serve the Lord. You didn't hide, Lord. You went out into the highways and the byways and amongst the people. So, Father, I pray for these folks that when they go to work tomorrow, when they're around other people, that they can see that Christ will be seen through them and that lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
While our brother was speaking today, I thought about something that I call the second greatest joy. The second greatest joy. The greatest joy is whenever you come to the Lord. Do you remember that? When Christ came in your heart, there was a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. But the second greatest joy I found in my life, right after I gave my life to the Lord, I was asked to preach, and I did. It wasn't a long sermon, but I said what I said from my heart. And I remember a young lady getting up from the back seat and walking up front with tears in her eyes and knelt at the altar. And all of a sudden, there was a joy in my spirit that I had never known before. And I knew what that joy was. I knew why it was there. It was the Father. Remember Luke 15? Jesus gives three special sermons in that chapter. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost boy. And then as he ends the chapter, his conclusion is this: that the Father and the angels in heaven rejoice. Rejoicing is the response to joy. That they rejoice over one sinner that repents. And I learned something a long time ago. Whenever you will put your emotions on the altar and quit fooling with them and keep your hand close to God, you will be able to sense how God feels about things. The Spirit will communicate to you how God feels. And I was actually feeling that moment the joy of the Holy Spirit within me rejoicing over this person that came to God. When I first came here, the Lord opened some doors for me to go to Sweden. 29 times. They keep calling me and ask me if I'll come back and make it 30, but 29 times I've had the pleasure of going to Sweden And in every single one of those journeys, we have seen hundreds of people saved. It was not uncommon when I first went over there, when we had that tremendous tent out in the middle of nowhere, and people were coming from all over Sweden. I mean, they would drive 2-3 hours just to get there. The power and the presence of God was so strong in that place that every time I gave an altar call, there would be 200 to 300 people at a time would come forth, kneel at the altar, and pray their way through to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you talk about joy. It's no wonder I kept wanting to go back. Amen. I didn't like the food. I didn't like the work. I didn't like any of that stuff. Every time I went over there, I lost weight because that didn't hurt me. But the reason I kept going back was I love to see people come to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can understand Carol's heart this morning. I understand it. But what I don't understand is why more people who are Christians don't experience it. Amen. Amen. We got the stuff. It ain't gonna go away when you give it away. It's just gonna fill back in, you know. And the more you give, the more God gives you to give. It comes back almost incrementally. I read in the scripture one time that God gives back measure for measure. I'll explain that to you. If you measure out to God or through God with a spoon, you get a spoonful back. If you measure with a shovel, you get a shovelful back. If you measure with a bulldozer, you get a bulldozer full back. Amen? Or a dump truck, whatever. And I have been so blessed in my life to have the Lord just dump those whole loads on top of me at one time. Amen. And to know the joy of seeing people come to know the God, to know the Lord. I get letters. I get calls. I get people showing up at my house sometimes out here that are from Sweden. And there is no telling just how many people came to the Lord because of that thing to Sweden. Right after I come here, again, a door opened up for me to go over to Pell City, Alabama. There were 10 or 15 people that had been kicked out of a church because they received the Holy Spirit. They give them the left foot of fellowship out the back door. And they wanted to learn about God. And a lot of you haven't been here that long, but I would go over there during the week and spend 2 or 3 days with them every month. And it was amazing to see people come to a home meeting. We never went to a church, we went to homes. And it was amazing to see how God reached people through homes. It's a blessing. But out of that little small meeting, God's got a way of taking little things and making them big things. Amen. We never know what God's going to do. Out of those people that I went and taught and helped for about a year and a half, came 6 full-time ministers. Amen? Who have pastored churches, been in the ministry for 40 years now. One of them is Brother Ron Day that comes to our church every year. That's one of them. Amen? One more thought, and we'll close this morning. You know what a joy it is when God blesses your family with one of those little special children? Amen? When you go to the hospital and you look down in that nursery room, and there is that new life laying there. I've never been to a nursery where somebody was crying, unless, of course, the child was sick. When that new life is laying there, there's a smile on every face that comes by. Why? Because there's joy, isn't there? There's joy. And if we feel that way about a little child being born, think how much God feels in his heart about someone who is lost and then they're found. Amen. I was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? All right. He didn't ask me for an offering, but I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have something special you want to share with him, if you've got something, help him buy those CDs or whatever, I'm going to ask, let's see, David, you can help me, please, sir. Just go around it, and if you got something you want to share with him, share it with him. Amen? And we'll bless him with it and invest in souls. Amen? Invest in other souls. Praise God. So just obey the Lord and thank you, Brother Darrell, for your testimony and your love for God and your love for the lost souls. Amen. So much of this fantastic church growth you're seeing right now in America is a false church growth. According to people who understand these things, 80%, are you listening now? 80% of all church growth right now is taking people from one church to another one. That's what they say. 80%. I mean, that's what the experts say. My heart has never been to take people from somebody else's church and bring them here. My heart has been to reach people who have never known the Lord and bring them here. Amen? That's my heart. Thought I better share it with you. Praise God. All right. Do you love him? If you really love him, come back tonight. Amen? I got a message for you. I don't know what's happening on Sunday nights, but it seems like Sunday nights usually, I don't know, a little hotter around here than it is other times. So I get wound up on Sunday nights. So come back tonight and see if the Lord meets you here. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we do so love you and thank you for your mercy. That you did, through your grace, find us. We didn't seek you, God. You sought us. You chose us in Christ Jesus before you fashioned the world. You knew all things from the beginning. And we're so thankful, God, that you included us. Help us to walk in that fellowship with you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.